Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, your home for all things Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and so much more. Join Derek and Ian as they tell tales to astonish along this journey into mystery. Grab some snacks and settle in because Paperweight Entertainment starts now. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. I am your co-host, Derek Hoskins, and with me, as always, is my good friend and yours, the glue, Mr. Ian Torrance. Ian, how's it going?
Not too bad, sir. Not too bad at all.
You ready to talk about Mandalorian?
Yes, we usually get together beforehand and give like little tidbits about like how we feel about the episode. We don't like full on dive into it, but It's usually I liked it, didn't like it. Here's a couple bullet points why. We did not do that this week.
No, we did not.
We're just raw dogging this. We're just going straight into it, and we don't know what each other thinks, but we're both very curious.
Yes, very, very, very curious. I will share. I didn't have this pulled up ahead of time. Let me pull it up. Our biggest fan, my good friend Emily, sent me a text after watching this episode yesterday, and she just said that entire episode of Mandalorian felt like a fever dream. So that's a good place to start. So what did you think about this episode overall? Because I can't wait to find out what you thought.
So I've got the IMDb pulled up here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And have you looked at IMDb?
I have not looked at the IMDb for this episode, no.
Okay, so for the season, the lowest ranked episode was Chapter 19, so it was Episode 3 of Season 3, mm-hmm. and it was the convert. Mm-hmm. It was 7.1. Everything else is usually high 7s or low 8s. This one got a 6.7 so far. 6.7, there are 7,446 votes on that. Mm-hmm. Just to give you kind of a guideline, last week was 8,566 votes, and it was an 8.4. Very well-deserved 8.4. Last week's episode was awesome. I thought this week's episode was awesome as well. I enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
I'm so fantastic. Glad!
I thought it was so glad. It was a really good side quest. It was like, here's the main story, but you got to go do this before you could do this. And everything that happened seemed like a side quest to me, and I thought that was awesome. And I don't understand why everybody's shitting on it so much. It was a fun episode.
It was such a fun episode. I'm so glad.
I don't know why people are so mad about this. I loved it.
Oh, I'm so relieved.
This wave of relief has washed over Derek right now.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad. I loved it too.
I would have gave it. I'm gonna rank it now. I'm gonna give it at least a 7.5, if not an 8.
Yeah, I would do the same. I don't think I liked it quite as much as last episode. I thought last episode was a little better. But for like you said, this is a side quest. The Mandalorian from the very beginning has been Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau playing with their action figures. Like little kids, like that's the whole show.
I love that description.
So every now and again, if you get two kids in a room together and they're talking about, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we did this? You're gonna get side quests. We get side quests in every season. And one thing that I think is great is that I don't believe for a second that anything that has been put forth in these series.
Hmm.
In any season of Mandalorian is actually a filler episode. That's a word I've seen a lot with this one. Oh, it's another filler episode. Oh, it's another side quest. They have to do this. It wasn't a filler episode. We're learning more about the universe. We're learning more about the galaxy. We're learning more about the state of things. We're learning more about Bo-Katan and where she is as a leader, where she is as a person, where her mindset is. We're learning more about Din. We're learning all kinds of stuff.
The whole point of this mission when they started it was she's supposed to unite all the Mandalorians and bring them all together so they can retake Mandalore, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And what did she do by the end of the episode?
She went to the crew,
that she used to be a part of.
Yes.
And she gives this speech, and then she says, you know, the whole episode she's alluding to the fact that, like, I'm not... She's basically saying the entire episode, I noticed like the little like tidbits, the breadcrumbs she was leaving, like, because he was like, you're the leader, everything goes, and she's like, I'm not the leader. Like, she never says it directly, but it's like, clearly he is supposed to be the leader because he has the Darksaber, right? And she just keeps saying, like, and she wasn't being mean or condescending. I didn't think, like, well, they're never going to follow me. I'm not a true leader. And just like, yes, you are. Why would she say that? And it's like, oh, toward the end of the episode, Axe Borman. what's his name? Axe what?
Wolf, right?
Wolf. And he was like, oh, well, you don't even have the Darksaber. You're not the true leader. And it's just like, oh, okay. And then he's like trying to hand it over again. And you're thinking, we can't just, we've done this.
Yeah, we've established that it's not going to work.
So I am skipping to the end. I do have some stuff I want to talk about in the middle. But my point being is, like, this episode might have started as a side quest, but it went right back on. It felt like a side quest to me because they went and got on the monorail.
Yeah.
Monorail.
The monorail?
The monorail. So they got on the monorail and they were going to go see these people. And then it was like, oh, you know, the, what was he called? Not the chairman. The ambassador.
It was Lord. What would he be? What was his title? I don't remember.
I was thinking.
Jables. It's all Jables.
And the fact that it was Jack Black. I mean, come on. How could you not like that?
In any universe, would you have expected them to turn the corner and see Jack Black and Lizzo hanging out at that table?
No, see, that's the thing. I couldn't tell who he was from a distance at first. Uh-huh. It was the voice. The voice got me. And just like, I looked away and I heard Christopher Lloyd's voice.
I know!
Christopher Lloyd. And I didn't even see him yet. He was captain. He was the Captain Bombardier.
Was it Bombardier or Bombardier? I think it was actually pronounced that.
But Christopher Lloyd's character was Commissioner Helligate. So he was the commissioner.
I couldn't believe
Lizzo was the Duchess. So with that being said,
seeing Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, it took me by surprise too, which I was
more
awesome.
Surprised by amazing. Him than I was Jack Black and Lizzo.
Yes, but I thought, wow, what fun cameos, and they all killed it. I thought they all did great. They were fun. They were entertaining. Christopher Lloyd is a tad bit menacing at times, but I called it as soon as like they showed and he was the main guy. I was like, Tim.
Yeah, it's gotta be
which
him.
I think it was supposed to be obvious, but I love that they go down to the, like, the shipping yard and she's like, Katana is trying to talk to the droid and he's just Din Djarin's just over there doing this little hand thing. And he's just like, well, I wouldn't do that if I was you. He's like, oh, yeah, why is that? And he just starts kicking them. And I just thought that was so funny.
It was hilarious.
He just starts kicking them like, you know what? I ain't got time for this shit. We're getting to the bottom of this. And then they find it. And then the coolest chase scene.
It was such a great chase. It was a great chase.
Chasing him through the city with all the people. And I thought, because I didn't look at the reviews yet, and I thought, man, I bet this got like a 9. And when I checked, I was like, really? This was awesome.
Yeah. People are so
I imagine like having a controller in my hand actually playing that out.
Yeah, absolutely. And then not only that, like we got cute, legitimately good humor in this episode. We got, and I'm going to say it again, Christopher Lloyd in Star Wars.
Hmm.
Not only in Star Wars, but talking about Separatists, the Rebellion, the Republic, the Empire, using buzzwords like he knows what he's talking about. It was amazing.
But and then the fact that they
action, were good. Really good action. And then a detective style side quest where they literally went to a morgue to check out the dead body with a coroner. This was straight out of like a detective show where the two of them are going to find out every clue. It was great. It was such a fun episode.
And they touched on the point that, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, it was silly. Yeah, Jack Black was silly. Yeah, Lizzo was hanging out and having Grogu cheat at the game to make the thing, you know, float and levitate. Yes, it was silly. But again, Star Wars is allowed to be silly. It's still great because it has everything else. This was such a great episode that could appeal to so many people. I loved it. I know every one of my kids would have loved this episode.
What you just said, the appeal to so many people, that is what I wanted to get at.
Mm-hmm.
When they went and talked to Christopher Lloyd and asked him, like, what was going on, why he thought these droids were, like, malfunctioning, going rogue, and they're like, can't you just turn them off then? And he's like, you can't, because there's a kill switch that turns off every droid, and they're like, okay, so do that. And he's like, can't. People are too reliant on droids.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to give up their free time and actually do daily tasks. because they have droids to do that. And mm-hmm. people will lose their mind and society will crumble if we turn off all these droids. And I thought, mm-hmm. and he said, people are just so mindless to what's going on around them because of this technology. And I thought that just resonates so hard with like the way things are now, yep. because I grew up in a time, you know, I would consider myself a early 90s child. You know, I was born in the 80s, but you know, by the time I was like 5, 6 and I was, you know, having memories.
By the time you're making memories.
It's 90, 91. And my fondest memories are growing up out like in, I wasn't really in the middle of nowhere where we grew up, but we grew up like on a small farm, and we didn't have to do your daily like farming tasks, like wake up to milk the cows every morning, but we had animals and you'd get up and like you'd go out and help your mom and dad, like, you know, feed and water and mow grass. I mean, at a young age, mm-hmm. I mean, it was very common. And then like we had house phones and we had the rotator phones. You and I have talked about this. Yeah. We had to dial the rotating phones, and people think like, God, you guys sound so old when you talk about that. I'm like, no, it was normal back in the early mm-hmm. 90s. It was still normal. So we had regular Nintendo back then. Okay. So we would play Nintendo. Video games were a thing. There was, you know, you had to have been in a certain neighborhood or society or class to carry a cell phone. Mm-hmm. You know, they were not as common. That was not as heard of as it is now. They existed, but I don't think I actually saw one until like, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm.
And most of those were in the movies, like seeing a cell phone.
Anything
like Zach Morris had a cell phone on
Saved by the Bell. He had the big like clamshell phone. Yeah. Or Arnold Schwarzenegger and Twins, where he picks up the car phone. That's what I think of.
Oh, yeah.
My point being is like we had to get outside and we had to do things. And if you wanted to get a hold of somebody, you went to their house and knocked on their door, or you called them on a house phone. Mm-hmm. And if they weren't there, you had to wait for them to come home. That's how it was.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with our society today, but it is so much more convenient to mm-hmm. do things. And I'm glad that this technology is around.
Absolutely.
And I have become dependent on it. You know, I was talking to my girlfriend earlier about this. We were talking about GPS.
Mm-hmm.
And she makes fun of me, calling me old because I talk about stuff like this, because she's 8 years younger than me. But the fact that I brought up, Derek, you probably know what I'm talking about. When we took family trips, we stopped at the gas station and got the giant atlas.
You got to get the road map for that state.
For that state,
exactly. The state that you're in, you got to get the state map.
You got to get that state map, and unless had all the roads and everything in it.
Unless you've got like a whole atlas of the country, then you're a
which why life. But now, like, I just pull up my phone. I'm like, I need to go to the, you know, rec bar in New Albany, and mm-hmm. I got to get some video game time in, you know, some arcade games. So where is that? Okay, boom. I get in my car. I plug it in.
When
the
I
GPS
drove,
pops up on my
when
screen.
When I drove to Chicago last week, I never looked at a map. Mm-hmm. I turned on the I had the Bluetooth on. I turned on the my map app.
Mm-hmm.
Punched in the address and just listened to the directions.
Didn't your car like drive for you at one point?
Yeah, the car that I rented had automatic drive. Like it was the craziest thing. The steering wheel turned on its own. We're living in the future.
That's
I wasn't
a real
ready for
thing.
It.
So that's what I'm saying. Like things are definitely like happening that are more convenient, that are at our fingertips. That is awesome. But I feel like, not trying to shit on anybody, but I feel like the ones who grew up without that can appreciate it a little bit more,
because
like we're not used to this yet. Right. Cause it's like, well, when I was growing up, it was, you know, it's a back in my day speech.
Yeah.
Back in my day, we used to have to, you know, ride a horseback to get
but
to
it
the
makes
Piggly
the
Wiggly.
Point that the show is trying to make about how we have
exactly.
become very dependent on the modern conveniences.
And
that's going to happen in any society.
Exactly. And if you cut the robots off, they have to go back to daily tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a big deal? No, because we do them daily anyway. But you're telling me that the way they're talking right now is like, you know, at some point in the next 25 years, every home will have a live-in, I wouldn't say cyborg. What do they call those? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Just a living robot. We'll just call them robots.
We'll just call them robots. So basically,
we're already giving off real old man yelling at the clouds energy. We might as well say robot.
So they're you know, predicting everybody will have this in a home, and they'll be able to help you with your daily task and stuff like that. So it's not really that far off, because you're going to tell me that you wouldn't take advantage of that if you can get one at a cheap price. That, you know, Derek, you have 18,000 kids. Like, you're telling me that if you're at work, your wife wouldn't appreciate having a nice little cyborg running around the house?
Oh my gosh, immediately. Like, well, let's not say cyborg. Cyborg is
a robot.
So, like, let's say Android.
Android. We'll
say Android, or just a robot. A
cyborg. It's just hard for me to say Android because I sell Android phones. So.
Okay, let's just call them robots. Cyborgs are like cybernetic. That's like a human that's been implanted with cybernetic parts.
And yeah, I don't know that I trust. Word.
I don't know that I trust a cyborg in my house.
You wouldn't trust here. Cyborg from Teen Titans?
If it was Cyborg from Teen Titans, maybe. Although he's a little reckless.
He can be, especially on Teen Titans Go.
He can be a little reckless. But so, yeah, to your point,
go ahead.
To your point, that I love that they made that point, because that did mirror our world. And they made another one in this episode from the reverse perspective of the droids saying, no, we don't want this to happen either, because we have more utility. They're going to take our jobs.
Yeah,
that was essentially the flip side of our concern, that there are going to be jobs that are currently held by human beings that are going to be replaced by machines at some point. It's already been happening.
All I and
I thought it was really interesting that they used that.
I was like, why do they have a bar?
I know.
Just then it made sense.
Oil. Drinking oil.
Yeah.
Made me think of that Futurama episode where Fry had to pretend to be a...
Yes!
Fry had to pretend to be a robot.
Yes.
Sir, are you aware you're leaking coolant at an alarming rate?
Yeah, I love that show.
But yeah, you're so right. The droids being concerned that humans or that biological, you know, beings were going to take their jobs was also another real world parallel to, you know, people really genuinely having that concern that they're going to possibly lose out on their career and their livelihood because a machine is going to take over that job at some point. Because they are, you know, my job right now, I'm in deliveries. You know, I deliver mail. The minute that it's available to cut out the human error of that and make it something that a machine can do, I will be out of a job in a heartbeat.
Let's talk about your job currently. Your job currently, you have a device that you scan a package in, and I can then get on your website and I can see when you've scanned that package and when it's projected to be at my home. You know, that wasn't always a thing. And now, like, well, I need to make arrangements, because what if, you know, I'm getting something delivered? I don't want it just sitting on my front porch. Well, I wonder when it'll be here. Okay, well, it'll be here around this day at this time. Oh, I could take my lunch and go over there and grab this. You know, you didn't used to be able to do stuff like that. So technology is very important, but there are people that become too reliant on it and have grown up with it. And, you know, there are 6 to 7 year old kids that can do things that full grown adults can't do on phones and tablets.
And this isn't bashing like the current generation.
It's not.
It's just the mindset of the matter that if you grow up with something like, you know, I grew up with technology that my father didn't grow up with. You know, it's just the way that it is. Automatic windows in a car, which we still had the crank windows a lot, but you know, little things like that. Power steering. My dad didn't have power steering until he was an adult.
Yeah.
You know, the things that we take for granted our previous generations don't take for granted, because we can keep going back. Of it.
Air conditioning.
Yeah. Microwaves. My father-in-law remembers the first time they got a microwave.
TV is so like common now. When I was growing up, you had a box TV and it had knobs on it.
And they
started transitioning into like the big flat screens, but they were like the size of a car.
Oh my gosh. So at some point we're going to get back to actually talking about the episode, but this ties into
the episode.
I don't know if you remember our giant projector big screen TV that we had. I don't know if that was there when you were hanging out or not. Yeah.
Was that the plasma one?
No. Yeah. Was it plasma?
Because I remember you guys had a plasma TV and we were playing Ultimate Alliance and we paused it and you were like, I got to go unpause game. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, because it was a projector.
Why? And you said, because it'll burn into the screen. And I was like, I have no idea what you're saying to me. And you're like, it's a plasma TV. And I never had a plasma TV. We had the other TVs. And I'm just like, oh, well, yeah, you definitely don't want that.
Yeah, that big screen TV was a real pain.
It was nice.
It was nice.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, they're huge. They're bulky. I mean, I think some of them came with wheels, but let's be honest, you pushing ours, that thing on carpet.
Yeah, ours came with wheels, but those wheels did nothing.
No, not like, it just depended. And it would take a few people to get it in and out. I was bringing up the other day, like, now
Brandon and I had to move that thing out. And you know how big for anybody that doesn't know, my brother-in-law is actually a little bit taller than me and just a big beefy dude. And it took the two of us literally like rolling it end to end because we were throwing it away to try and get it out. It was a mess.
But I was telling the story the other day, like where a lady comes into my employment, my job, and says, I'm trying to like watch all these sports games. And, you know, I just need to know the best place to stream them. And, you know, there's YouTube TV now and Hulu Live and all these places.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, when I grew up, there was cable, but cable was crazy expensive and not very common. We had a giant antenna that was hooked to the side of the house.
Right.
And we would have to go out. There was a pair of channel locks on the thing attached. And my brother and I would have to go out and grab it and spin this thing until my dad yelled, stop or go back. That's how we watch TV.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, long story short, we do get accustomed as a society that we do get accustomed to what we have. And it would take a long time if something was to happen and we were to lose that technology.
I would never want to go back to anything. I mean,
yeah, I wouldn't either.
I'm going to be honest with you. Like I loved the way it was growing up, but that's because I didn't have anything to compare it to.
I had to,
and now that I do, this is much better.
I had to sit in a room for 10 minutes without my phone the other day. And
you didn't know what to do. Did you?
I didn't know what to do anymore. Like I was sitting there alone with my thoughts. I was like, my God, what a little house on the prairie. It's
Well, you remember like anywhere you went, if you were in an office or somewhere you had to wait, there was like a magazines, table full of magazines books. Everywhere. Books.
Yeah. They always had kids' magazines that they didn't care if you colored in and messed up.
There was an area for kids that they could play and like do stuff. Like that's not as common, I feel like, anymore.
No, it is not.
Because, well, why would I have that? Like they could just.
Everybody's on a phone or a tablet. Yeah.
So I thought that was important that Christopher Lloyd's character brought that up in the show because it seemed very accurate to the real life complaints basically. So I thought that was cool. I'm not 100% sold on his reasoning for why he wanted to do it.
Yeah, I'm not either.
But
they needed a bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and it seemed like because if you remember at the end, he was very like he stood very stern on his reasoning and why. And then when the Duchess had said something, he was just like, "Oh, you know, yeah, I feel kind of bad. Oh, hopefully, you could forgive me sometime." Like, yeah, that was quick. Well, you know, you think about it like that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be a dick.
Just did a 360. We're bringing it back.
Hey, did a complete 360.
So I want to hit before we wrap up. I want to hit on the fight scene between Bo-Katan and Axel. Is it Axe or
I think
Axel?
It was just Axe. I think Axe Wolf.
Whatever.
Axe Wolf.
I like that character. I like him. I think that he's an interesting actor. I've seen he was great in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I like the fight between the two of them. It was entertaining. There was a lot of really fun Mandalorian gadgets being used. You know, when she is falling off of the plane and like hits him with the grappling rope thing and smacks him down.
I thought that was the most generic fight that I had ever seen in my life until they started whipping out the gadgets. I was like, okay, this got cool.
Yeah.
This got really cool really quickly. And I'm glad you brought up Axe. I want to bring him up. The opening scene of the movie being of the show, it felt like a movie to me. The show was him like going to that captain's ship and basically saying, look, we know you have him in there. We're taking him. We are paid to do a job. We got to come in there and take him.
Right.
And he's like, oh, I don't want to go back. It's just true love. And he's like, I don't care. You can come right back for all I care.
Yeah, I just got to pick you up.
And I thought, what a polite asshole.
Yeah.
Like, look, I don't care what you guys do. I'm not trying to stop you guys from being together in the long run. But right now, I got paid. You got to come back. If you don't come back, I got to destroy the ship. I don't want to do that. Don't make me do that. Just come on. But we're like, don't prolong this. Just come on, and then you can come right back. I don't care what you do. I just have got paid to come get you, and I have to take you back. So I thought they seemed really cool. They seemed really polite, but also, you know, like they had a job to do, and they were going to do it. Now, let me ask you this. Does this lead you to believe that they were 100% obviously the culprits of last week's ending episode of the heist of Moff Gideon?
I think that's what they want you to think. I don't think it was them.
I don't either. You know why? Because I thought that guy was way too nice.
Well, and also I think that it's too simple. That's too simple of a story. It's like, oh yeah, they broke him out because, you know, they got paid to do a job. Which they could go that way, that's fine, but that just seems too simple. But if they do that and Bo-Katan does unite all the Mandalorians, now you've got the New Republic bearing down on the Mandalorians, right, as they're trying to rebuild their society.
Yes, I guess either way it goes.
Either way, I'm interested. I don't think it's them. It could be. I could be completely wrong, but
I don't think it is either.
It seems too on the nose and too easy for it to be them. I feel like it needs to be somebody else.
I did it first. But then I was like, man, they could have easily blown this ship up, taken that kid, and still just destroyed that ship.
Yeah.
Because she was just like, do you know who I am? He's like, yeah, I don't care. I don't care about any of the consequences or repercussions. I will blow up your ship. Give him to us.
Also, I think it was really, really nice of Din to find a technicality to get rid of the Darksaber that he's been trying to get rid of for like a season and a half now.
And I'm like, I don't think he actually hasn't had it that long.
Yeah, he got rid of it on technicality, which is fine. I still say that Bo-Katan is not going to ride that Mythosaur. She's not going to be the leader. Because I think that they've proven, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, I think that they've proven through Clone Wars and Rebels that she is not a fit leader. She is a leader. She's not a fit ruler. Like somebody that's going to lead the entire Mandalorian, unless she has grown, because it does seem like she's grown quite a bit. It seems like she's matured. Not that she was overly immature before, but she's definitely changed her character. Really? But I still think it's not going to be her. If it is her, that's fine. Good on Katie Sackhoff for finally getting to do that, because I love her. I think she's amazing. But I still think they're setting it up, because they brought up that Din is not a Mandalorian by blood. I still think he's going to be the one that rides that Mythosaur at the end.
Sorry, I just thought of Chris Evans in Not Another Teen Movie. You're my sister, only by blood.
But what do you think? Do you think that Bo-Katan is going to actually lead, or do you think that that she's going to mess this up somehow, or that something's not going to go her way?
I don't know. I feel like I like her a lot, but I feel like she's definitely up to something. And I don't know if it's nefarious or not, but I also don't trust the armor either.
I don't either.
I don't think the armor is being very.
I don't think she's on the level. I don't trust her.
I don't either. I was going to say forthcoming with information, but I do think that that's true. I think there is definitely some stuff that she is hiding, and she is telling them on a need to know basis, essentially.
Yeah.
And there's something else going on. Or if she is being truthful to a point, and she's not going to be the main villain, I think she's trying to shape Bo-Katan into doing something mischievous.
Right. Or trying to shape her into the leader that she can, almost like a puppet leader that she can kind of still
manipulate
from behind the scenes. So I don't know. Sorry, I hope that wasn't a really loud noise. I just like pushed my microphone into my computer. I loved this episode, and you know, we joked about it a little bit earlier on. I love Jack Black and Lizzo. They were such an adorable couple. and a lot of fun. And I love that Grogu was just like, yeah, I'll go hang out with this chick. These people seem awesome. I'm going to hang out with
He doesn't take it. Kindly to new people, and she puts this little sardine up there. He's like, ooh!
So yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm really glad you liked it, because I was genuinely concerned because you've been enjoying this season so far. I was really afraid you were not going to like this episode, and I thought, let's keep going. All right, awesome. Well, that is what we had to think, or what we had to say, and what we thought about Mandalorian Season 3, Episode 6, Guns for Hire. A lot of words going there. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for listening. If you're on YouTube, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, ring the notification bell, share this video with your friends. If you are listening on the podcast, thank you so much for listening to the original medium that we designed this entire show for. Don't forget to rate and review us. Check out our merch store. Get yourself some wonderful Paperweight Entertainment or Silver Screen Scoundrels merch. Make sure you're following us on all the social medias, especially on TikTok and YouTube if you're not watching already. If you want to see the coverage that I did of C2E2 from last week, then check us out on there. And I am all out of things to say. For Ian, what? I have been Derek. This has been the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, and we will see you next time.
Yay!